I'm incarnation where them Cardinals at, with them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-X, let's go.
Play a Cardinal game, get a Cardinal store.
Welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. We are here and brought to you today by the Jamon Brown Foundation, and we are coming to you live from the Custom Multicade Studios. I'm your host, Jeremy Wahman, and I'm here with my normal co-host, Sean Barber.
How's it going?
Sam Bazin.
What up?
Dalton Pence.
What's up, everybody?
And the extra big show, Joe Wahman. We've got that audio for you later. That was ridiculous. But, not going to be a real fun show. The first part, probably none of it's going to be fun today. Higgy's not here, so it's about 30 degrees cooler in the room, so that's a good thing.
The hors d'oeuvres are still there. So.
They are. But joining us today, it's our normal fill-in podcast co-host. It's our guy, Wes Brown.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
And, man, we have been, we've had a Jeremy and Wes weekend. We hung out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But
let me tell you about my
baby. Well, I mean, kind of. I mean,
Robin
we all,
Big.
We were all here, except for y'all two. We were all here Friday night to watch the U of L game. And then last night, we wanted to watch the Clemson Miami game, which ended up not being a
game
contest at all. I started to get sleepy, and Wes was like, I'm going to go out and party. So that's what we did, respectively. And
party it, man.
So that's
where I party.
Yeah, where'd you go?
I ended up going to my cousins.
You put video out on Facebook.
Oh,
y'all out
of
the club shirtless.
I'm getting there.
At the club shirtless?
No, my cousin was at the club shirtless.
Yeah, for once it wasn't Wes.
It wasn't
so your
me.
Your cousin takes pictures at the club shirtless. You do yours in the bathroom.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I know. That's how you know we family, though.
That's why we're not Facebook friends. Because I got tired of scrolling through and seeing Wes in the shower with a little pouty lip.
Oh, jealousy at his finest. I love you. Anyway.
But anyway, where'd you go to party last night?
Well, I went to my cousin's for a little bit. I took the ribs. They enjoyed the ribs, by the way.
Oh, they liked them?
Oh, they loved the ribs. Then it ended up going to Cole's place, which I don't go much, but
Cole's is for the
Yeah, go ahead and say it, because I was going to say it, too.
I'm glad neither one of you said it, by the way.
But we had a good time. I seen people I went to school with, played football with, so it was good to see people I ain't seen in a while.
Dang, I wanted to go out last night myself. You should have went to Cole's.
Because that's where all the pros are.
Ain't no party like a Cole's party.
That's where we need to get. You know what? We need to take Sean to Cole's.
Most definitely.
Oh, you see the
Sean.
Fear in his eyes. Look, he's like, don't you
Sean.
Do that to me.
Cole's
no,
doing Derby weekend.
Cole's during any weekend. Any weekend for Cole's.
I've seen Sean, like, on Facebook, though. I think it was Sam that posted the video where he's, like, trying to dance in the club. Was it a club or was it just, like, a bar and grill? It was something.
That was
a Derby City Pizza.
But yeah,
it was PRP pizza at the time.
I was trying to show Sean. I forgot what dance it was.
The Quan?
Yeah.
What was this, 2015?
Probably. Yeah, actually.
Okay, good. I was like, if this is like last year, like you all have been sheltered.
Me and Sean went to, what's it called? The place in the Highlands. Baxter's.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was going to say the back door.
Oh, Baxter. Well, that too.
Tom and G.
You almost made me cuss. That's like
You almost made him.
Sean went to the back door.
No, he went through the back door.
God.
Well, there's never been a greater time to mention our fine sponsors.
button. Hit the button first.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I'm not going to do that.
Unbelievable.
There you go. Shout out to all of our fine sponsors, though.
Spencer's.
Look, you got me stoned, Sean. Four Pegs Bear Lounge, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, and of course, the Jamon Brown Foundation. Guys, we're gonna have an open forum to start off the first segment. I'm gonna put 3 minutes on the clock for everybody who's got something to say about this demoralizing loss against Georgia Tech. But first, a couple of factoids from our good guy Kelly Dickey. Louisville's 46-27 loss at Georgia Tech is its largest margin of defeat when leading the game going into the fourth quarter. The previous record was 11 points and a 42-31 loss to Florida State. 2014 and a 35-24 loss to Virginia Tech 2006.
I remember that Florida State game.
Was that the one with
Jameis?
Okay.
Jameis.
So that was the one where Holloman, that was the season of the Holloman? Okay.
Yes, it was.
Louisville has outgained its opponent in three of its five last losses. The Cards had 471 yards of total offense to 450 against Georgia Tech. The Miami losses this year and last year went the same way. And Louisville has lost three fumbles in a game for only the second time since 2001. The other time was in a 44-12 win versus Wake Forest, November 12, 2016. I believe that was here at home. I think I went to that game. Real quick, before I give everybody their 3 minutes, and I will have a timer.
Hey, yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Because I already know y'all all have something to say. People have been crapping on Javian Hawkins all weekend. The dude had ESPN all night long kept saying, oh, Javian's got two fumbles. This is his second fumble. It wasn't a second fumble.
He had one.
I was not fond of that broadcast at all.
I wasn't. And the sad thing about it, my guy Eric Wood, which was also repeating the two fumbles, but he might have been leading the charge somehow. But, you know, kept saying, but he didn't. Javian Hawkins has played two full seasons and then one game his freshman year and has fumbled the ball one time. So, I see everybody, they listen to ESPN that – they're not always right. So I want to get that off my chest real quick first. Sam, you are sitting to my left. Let me get my nifty little timer up. I'm going to go ahead and throw 3 minutes on the timer, and I'm going to show it to you so that way you know. Because if we all say what we have to say, this show's going to be a four-hour show.
It's going to take me about 35 seconds on mine.
I already know what you're going to say, but we'll go ahead and start the clock as soon as Sam starts talking.
All right, so needless to say, I was very, very extremely disappointed in the lack of coaching adjustments made by the U of L coaching staff. I understand that they might not have the players that they want to fit their scheme as of yet, but I think at some point in time you need to adjust to the players that you do have to utilize the talents that is on your roster, not for what you want to do. We're not built as a power running team or a zone blocking team as yet. I get that's what they want to do, but they need to change and adjust. And I think that's what's happening now. All of the things that were successful for Coach Satterfield and everyone in the first year, they have that on tape now. So now teams know how to prepare for it, how to adjust, and how to stop it. So what you need to do is come up with something different or just use those as gimmick plays. And that's all I say on the offensive part of the game plan, because I think the offense is very vanilla. But in terms of playing, like the players on offense, we have some talented offensive players, a talented QB, two talented running backs. We have a stable of talented wide receivers. And I don't think we should ever go through a game where Des Fitzpatrick is only targeted once or twice. He should never, ever, for the rest of his career at Louisville, only have one reception in a game. I don't care who is guarding him. And I think teams too also think they get it. They get it. If you stop Tutu, you're most likely gonna stop Louisville. I mean, Tutu was overthrown a plethora of different times. Well, a number of different times. Sorry. And then it's just frustrating. It's very, very frustrating because we had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, and this is what they showed. And now let me touch on the defense.
1 minute remains.
He has 3 minutes uninterrupted, everybody. 3 minutes uninterrupted.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
I just laughed.
I'm glad y'all got that. I'll give you a couple of extra seconds, too.
Look. At some point in time, I get it. We're in, like Marcus Maben said, he wished we had some bigger butts on the defensive line. I kind of do too. But we don't. So we need to adjust, like I was saying, on offense. We need to adjust on the whole and figure out a way to get these guys on the field who can put in work. And to me, I'm sorry, like I don't want to bash players, but we need to go with the youth movement in the secondary. Get Josh Minkins in there, Lovie Jenkins in there. Get some youth movement on the defensive line, something, because what we're doing right now currently is not working. If we're going to lose, I'd rather lose young so they can learn for the future. And that's me.
That's just saying that the timer's up without it going off. I'm going to go a little bit out of order because I'm used to everybody sitting in a different way. So, Sean, you get seconds, as likely it will be in life as well. go ahead.
No.
All right.
Real quick, I'm going to pause it. Real quick. And you'll get your 3 minutes interrupted as well. We're all frustrated. So this is a good way for us to get our personal frustrations out. And maybe because we know they listen to us up there. Everybody listens to us. So hopefully they get our points of view. They get our because what happened after the – I know I have my own 3 minutes. This will probably take my – I won't say anything. I'll let y'all have y'all's 3 minutes and be quiet for once. But the behavior that was on Twitter after the game the other night was
unacceptable.
It was deplorable. Adding the players, adding the coaches, because let's call a spade a spade. We are about 7 plays away from being undefeated at this, but not pretty. But I can point to 7 plays that would make us 4-0 at this point,
or 3-1 at least,
or at least 3-1. Well, no, I'm pretty sure we'll talk about it after. But anyway, I can point to about 7 plays and be like, we're 4-0. Not pretty, not the best, close to the worst, but still, I could point to that. So, I mean, we are not an awful ball team right now. We are just still learning. This is a young team. We are 2 years into Coach Satt's tenure. He's had how many games we played this year?
Four
this year, and we played 13 last. So we are 17. Can you imagine, any of you all imagine, I give you 17 days at your job to completely turn a fiscal year around as far as earnings are concerned. Would any of you survive the 17 days? No. It is completely – every one of you all on Twitter that said something like that, you all are ignorant. And I don't – at me, jump in the DMs, they're open. Some of y'all do sometimes, and it is what it is. I'm very, very aggravated right now because people – and when I say people, I'm talking about the people, the nut-nucks down the road, can screenshot this and send it to recruits and be like, don't go to Louisville. This is how they act when their new coach is, you know, just starting to just, okay, I'm sorry, Sean, go ahead. I'm not going to give you your full 3 minutes back, but I'll give you the 2 minutes, 52 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. First off.
And I want to go ahead and add that this is 3 minutes of uninterrupted.
As he interrupts him.
In spirit of the vice presidential and presidential debates, you get minutes.
God, man, will you shut up?
And 50 seconds.
This is going to be the greatest.
Come on, man.
2 minutes and 57 seconds in history. It's going to be huge.
52.
2 minutes and 50, 50 seconds now.
50.
I will say I added more seconds great. Because it's going to be great.
They're taking away from your seconds, Sean. I'm not restarting you.
So there's a systematic. It's a systematic thing right now, obviously. Even special teams, we switch punters. He's still not a great punter. Better, but not great. But you also have to remember, we're still depth-wise not where we want to be. It just is what it is. I don't know how the young guys are going to adjust if they get more playing time. I don't know. They could play unbelievable lights out, or they could get burned.
Un-effing-believable.
But you have to have Malik play better. That's where I think is a big issue because he has been holding on the ball too long a lot. He's been missing throws he made towards the end of last year. Think about how we were rolling last year. It was because we were hitting 2-2 on them wide open throws over the middle on the post routes, and he's not hitting that now. He missed him at least twice. I can remember.
Real quick, Sean, and speaking of not hitting it, I want to interrupt you real quick because that's another thing I want to point out real quick.
Real quick.
Y'all want to talk about how good we did last year. We were four or five plays away from only having 4 wins last year. We tried to get Boston College to win.
That's true.
Wake Forest should have beaten us.
True.
Virginia had a chance to beat us coming down the pike. There was no – we didn't have a – we're still building off of last year. It's not like we were undefeated last year, like Higgy likes to predict every year, and we just fell apart at the seams this year. We are still building. This is a young system. All right, go ahead, Higgy. Ooh. Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry. I'll give you some extra time.
Un-effing believable.
Un-effing believable.
But you have to have Malik get better. I have to see improvement out of him. As far as the running game goes, that's mainly because it's not why. Mekhi was a big reason we were able to run so well last year. He ran it. If we needed big yards, guess what happened? You ran it behind big number. What number was he last year? I can't remember.
Big ticket, it don't matter. Just big ticket.
77?
No, 77 for the Jets. He changed 75? His number. 75? I think I want to say 72.
You're really going to waste 20 seconds on the
guy's talking about Haycraft?
But the offensive line has to be a little better. They actually played, I thought, I know you all disagree, but I agreed with Dalton, they played better. Malik had time. He just didn't get rid of the ball. He had time. But they were inconsistent. And that's the other thing, the main thing with this team, consistency. There is no consistency. They play.
Yeah, there is.
No.
They lost three in a row.
But they've played, think about it, Western Kentucky. They had, 21 points, and all of a sudden they got ragged towards the end. This game against Georgia Tech, they ran out 21 straight points, got ragged again. There's no consistency. Even the defense against Pittsburgh, they have big plays where they got three and out, or they had one first down and were able to get a punt, and then they would give up a big play. It's all about consistency. Until they develop that consistency, there's going to be losses.
And might I add real quick, since Sean is coming to the close of his time, Louisville lost two offensive linemen to the NFL. And everybody – and I'll go ahead and say that I was probably one of them that thought that just a year of experience would have made everybody else just step up a level – but
I was too.
I know. Me, everybody at the table, pretty much. But you have to. There's growing pains, and we're, whether people want to accept that we're in a rebuild or not, we are. We're in a rebuild, and it's going to be okay. But if we keep firing coaches every 2 years, or wanting to fire them every 2 years, ain't nobody gonna ever want to come to Louisville. That's just a fact of the matter. They're not. So, all right, Dalton, I'm going to go ahead and go to you next. Only because I know Joey's going to say probably about 8 words, and then we're going to move on. But I'll go to you next. Your 3 minutes is on the clock, uninterrupted.
Yeah, so I think both, you know, Sam, Sean really hit the nail on the head. Just kind of briefly talking about Malik, I feel like he's struggling to see the field well. I don't know if it's – I feel like – a lot of it might be confidence, especially, you know, seemingly airmailing some of his passes. But one bright side that I saw from him on Friday night was I felt like instinctively running the ball, I felt like he was, as Devontae Parker just got a touchdown. Shout out, Vontae. I felt like Malik was better instinctively in determining on when to get out of the pocket and extend the play to get the first down. I feel like he did that a couple of times. I feel like outside of ball security, Javian Hawkins was, you know, he's Javian Hawkins, played very well. I thought the cutbacks were proficient throughout the game, but the bottom line is Hassan and Javian need to do a better job of taking care of the ball. That goes with really anybody on the squad. But defensively, I don't know whether it's fully a scheme thing, fully a talent thing. I think, like a lot of things, the truth falls kind of somewhere in the middle. The thing that I want to bring up is I feel like a lot of times, especially in second and long, third and long situations and pass plays, there's a lot of open receivers in the secondary. Now, I don't know if that's miscommunication, lack of talent, lack of scheme. That's not up to me, but I feel like that seems to be a common denominator, you know, week in, week out. And one area that I look in trying to see some improvement down the road, especially for Notre Dame, is I want to see – you know, receivers not getting, you know, a pocket of 5 yards of catching the ball, being able to turn and pivot and then run upfield. That's just unacceptable, in my opinion. But I think it really stems from we're not getting a ton of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. I know that the Georgia Tech quarterback was extremely mobile, but to not be able to get to him was, you know, inefficient. I think that the defensive woes really come from the fact that, you know, the coaching staff's doing all that they can. Like Jeremy said, I mean, this is year two. Those who are calling for coaches to be fired right off the bat and that they're not, you know, the truth are either severely misguided or just I don't really even know what I'm trying to say in terms of, you know, classifications, but
horrible people.
Okay,
gotcha.
Yeah, there you go. I feel like, you know, last year spoiled a lot of people. You know, we see the 8-win season. A lot of guys get their expectations, you know, sky high, get their hopes up. But you need to realize that, you know, this is still a rebuilding program, and the team's still in good hands. I think that there's some things that the staff needs to answer to in terms of, you know, second half adjustments and, you know, lack of versatility in play calling. But, you know, to wrap it up, I feel like they're not giving the staff, you know, enough time to be able to implement their roster and implement, you know, the scheme that they're trying.
Sorry, I tried to get that stopped before the timer started, but great points so far. I also want to point out point this out. The defense is something that, and again, I know I said I wasn't going to have my 3 minutes, but I'm just going to sprinkle a little bit here and there. I'm most confused by the defense because, as everybody's pointed out, there's been a lot of space. There's been a lot of wide open. Even last year versus Boston College in Wake Forest, I mean, Surratt and then the tight ends from Boston College just had the middle of the field open at their discretion. So I want to find, like, I am willing to give Coach Brown some more time because I'd be a hypocrite if I was like, oh, keep everybody else, give them the benefit of the doubt, but don't give Coach Brown. I still believe that we need to get the talent in for him to be able to do his job appropriately. So I will touchdown for Joey, I think.
Zeke?
Or for the Cleveland game.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't
Hunt.
Oh, okay.
Kareem Hunt.
No, I need Odell Beckham on that game.
Oh, okay. I thought you had Hunt. Okay. Anyway, so that's my little piece I wanted to add in there because sometimes when y'all are talking, it sets something off in my head. Joey, I'm gonna start your uninterrupted 3 minutes now.
Don't wait 3 minutes to say what you got.
No,
think.
Don't wait 3 minutes.
That was a dramatic pause.
Oh, okay.
So on the defense, I'll start there. And look, I'm not knocking any individual players. Like, this is not being mean or anything like that. We're not as talented as I think a lot of people may have. And don't get me wrong. Nobody thought we were, like, Clemson defense talented. I don't know that it's technique or scheme or anything like that. I just don't know that they have what it takes to be a starting, you know, defensive player in a Power 5 school. A lot of them. But what's going to come with that, you said give Coach Brown the benefit of the doubt. Like, with these recruiting classes that they put together, we're not going to see that this year. It's just the defense is not going to get much better this year, I don't think. We've got what we've got. Now, I'm done with the defense. That's all I really got to say about that, like Forrest Gump would say. Offensively, and nobody has to agree with me, but I think it's time to make the quarterback change.
Interesting.
I don't think, again, like what I said with the defense, I just don't think Malik's going to progress any. I don't. And I don't know his status, but if we got a healthy Puma.
I got some breaking news about that here.
If we've got a healthy Puma, like, was he playing bad last year before he got hurt?
Nope.
Puma? He played good against Notre Dame, didn't he? Yep.
No, he fumbled the
ball. Well,
no. He lost us the game against Notre Dame.
No, he didn't.
Don't
yes,
worry.
He did. Yes, he did.
Don't worry about yes, those.
We'll talk
those
about
fumbles,
that in a minute 11.
You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Against Alabama the year before, like, he played a great game. He actually played a really good game against Notre Dame last year. I know he had the fumbles, but besides that, I mean, he played a pretty good game, right? He
yes.
had us in the game,
yes.
but also lost us the game. Notre Dame's coming up. He's played good against them. Let's give it a try. What's going to hurt? We're 1-3 now?
Yeah.
We really have nothing to lose at this point on if he's healthy, putting him in. If he's not, I mean, like, I just think we got to try something else because that's the only – the offensive line's not going to get any better, like, as far as talent-wise. Their talent is their talent. If we can get a decent game out of them, we're good. But we got to get somebody in there that can run the offense and make good decisions, which Cunningham's not been making. He's not been making good decisions, whether it's field awareness or I think actually he's overamped for these games and he's seeing things too slow and missing, you know, missing everything. But
and Joey, if I could add on to that real quick, I think you could look at this in a broad spectrum as well. 1 in 3, you know, obviously you're going to have your Tutu, your Dez, your Dorian Etheridge going down the line. You're going to have your verbatim surefire starters. But let's be honest, we've started 1 in 3. You've got to throw the, you know, the pre-notions out the window. Talent's got, you know, we have, you owe it to the players to potentially, now obviously we're sitting here from the outside looking in. We don't see what goes on. The guys that are waiting in the
wings.
That's
what I meant to say.
The guys that are waiting in the wings may not be as ready as some of us may theorize about. However, at some point, is it really, you know, impossible to try to get those guys sometime, because it couldn't be worse than sometimes what we're seeing.
We're headed for 1 in 10 right now, or 1 in 10 right now. So,
go ahead, Sam.
I do want to disagree with Joey on one thing.
That's fine.
When you said about the defense, like some of these guys aren't ready to play Division I football or ACC.
Power five
football. I'm sorry. You have Russ East, I think, was a 4-star. Roger Burns, 4-star. Chandler Jones, I think he was a high 3-star. Like, you have really talented players.
I don't
want to
call an individual name out. Like, I've got names in my head that I'm
none of those guys.
Okay, so you're saying in one or two people in particular. Gotcha. I thought you meant defense as a whole.
No. There are. We have talent there, but we have some that have been maybe overhyped and just aren't there.
I get you. Okay. I see you now.
There are a couple of people that, again, not saying names, but a couple of people you just named that may have been 4-stars, 5s, whatever. But that sure hasn't translated to the field as of yet.
You got
to
throw stars out of the picture. Whenever you get to college, I don't care if you were a former 4-star, 5-star. I mean, Lamar, low 3, high 4.
Russ Smith, 1-star.
2-star. Gorgie was a 1. Russ was a 2. But with Malik, for me, and I have talked with Juwan's dad this weekend, and he said Juwan is healthy. He's 100%. He's ready to go. Whether he sees the field versus Notre, I imagine if Malik struggles against Notre Dame, we will see Juwan pass in that game, especially with his successes against Notre Dame. But I'm just to go back at what Sam said a few minutes ago. Juwan fumbled. We were about to score twice. No, 3 times. He fumbled twice and threw a pick. Right.
Yeah. That main one at the end of the second quarter when it went from what, like a 4-point lead for us end up being like a 10-point deficit.
Yeah.
That's the one that I really circle. Like, okay, this was the turning point.
It's like you talk about 6 or 7 plays that we could be 4-0 this year. That's like in that game, break it on a game basis. I mean, there's 3 plays in that game or 4.
Yeah.
That
anything
really
over
the tide.
2, though, it's
and I get that, but I'm saying you could be 30 of 34 for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, but have 4 interceptions.
But don't discredit the defense
on
one of those fumbles. It was just pure defense on one of those. The other ones, it was him and his ball security.
He was very reckless with the ball.
I get that.
On 2 of the fumbles he had in the second
half. I mean, basically, but at the end of the day, you know, we can play the hypothetical game all we want, but at the end of the day, you know, I felt like a lot of that loss fell back on him because of the ball security. But if you look at the overall body of work, I felt like there were a lot of – I thought the offensive cohesion of moving down the field – looked very smooth in that game for Juwan.
Wes, do you want 3 minutes, or do you just say a couple things and let's go to commercial?
I'll say a couple of things. All right.
Because I figure by this point, everybody's already said everything, so it's kind of a moot point.
Pretty much.
You've got 40 seconds. Go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good. I'm right here. Hi. Anyway.
You're here. Hi. Are you telling everybody that over the radio?
I don't.
Here,
I don't
comma.
But anyway. Hi. But anyway, I know. But anyway, for me,
and his 40 seconds are up, so
okay,
let's go to
that's good.
I'm
awesome.
Joking.
I'm just
go ahead, Wes.
Well, for me, it what stood out the most is all of y'all had said something about Malik, and y'all all was like he's Joey doesn't think he's gonna progress. There, it's just over. But for me, it was more of I'm sorry, but for me, I don't know where his confidence is, but I need him to get that back because he got shown up by a freshman who. I'm sorry, got shown up by a freshman under pressure, played it cool, did what he had to do to win that game. And for me, if I'm Malik, if I'm Malik, I feel morally destroyed because I'm like, damn, he just showed me up. And that's just how I feel. But and then defense, Sean called it even more. Gotta wrap up. Nobody wanted to wrap up.
He don't know much about that, this though, to
is,
be fair.
This is,
Sean said they need to wrap
can
up.
Can we replace Higgy full time?
Son of
my man Wes.
I've been waiting.
Sean said he gotta wrap up, but they don't want to wrap up. They want to go for big hits, try to get fumbles, all that stuff. But
I like to go for the big hits too.
Real quick though. The thing is, and Joey, you said you didn't think he was going to progress. Maybe not in the, well, no, they were in those exact words. But something I've noticed all year, and it was easy for somebody on Twitter the other day to oh, it's because it was raining. But those passes he was throwing high and out of control during Georgia Tech game are the same passes he's been throwing all season. So it's not just a rain thing or a dry thing. It was something, like Wes said, something's happened to his confidence, and quote unquote, I'm gonna need him to do better.
I'm gonna need him to do better.
See, I want to clarify. I'm not saying that Malik is or Mikhail, whatever, is horrible.
First off, he needs to decide what his name
is. I just think he's reached his ceiling. I don't think he's going to progress anymore.
You know, and
again, I'm not saying he's horrible.
No, I see what you're saying with that, because last year he was kind of the new kid on the block. You didn't have much tape on him. They were learning as they go. Now you have a whole year of film and footage where you can scout him. That's what they've done with the whole offense to me. I think that's what they've done with the whole entire offense.
The O-line needs to get better to allow him, because some of his passes have been because he hadn't had time to throw it. He's rushed a lot of stuff.
Yes.
So, I mean, go ahead. Hire us as your coaching staff. We've got it all figured out for you here at CSC. We're going to
Hail Mary every time.
Oh, jeez.
Hail Mary or a running back draw. We'll be right back. This is the Cardinal Sports Zone Podcast.
Come on out to Four Pegs Beer Lounge, located at 1053 Goss Avenue. Four Pegs has the best and most meals for your eating pleasure.
Yeah.
With daily specials on food and drinks and weekly dishes that are sure to wow your taste buds, Four Pegs is the place for you. One of my favorite things about Four Pegs, other than the food, is the great atmosphere and fun times you can have at Four Pegs. Chris is a community pillar and a great guy, and you can tell he wants everyone to have a great time there. For more info and daily specials, give our guy Chris a call at 502-634-1447. That's 502-634-1447. Four Pegs Beer Lounge.
Come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville, located in the heart of Shively. We are a huge, bright, family-friendly trampoline park. We offer large spaces for birthday parties with top-of-the-line experiences and 2 hours of jump time with every party. Our prices for family fun are competitive with the other guys as well. Make sure you check out our foam area. It's awesome. So come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville and have a blast. I know me and my sisters always do.
Yeah, buddy.
If you have any questions, please give us a call at 502-449-9952. That's 502-449-9952.
Hello, Card Nation. If you need your yard taken care of, then go to a guy that I trust, Rob Black in Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. If you need it done, they can do it. Rob has over 30 years of experience in the business, and he takes care of my lawn as well. He does an amazing job. Services include lawn care, fall cleanups, pressure washing, landscaping, soft washing, gutter cleaning, cleanups, and much more. Average yard costs about $30. Average overall cleanup cost is about $125. So if you're interested, give our guy Rob at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping a call at 502-773-5757. That's 502-773-5757. Derby City Lawn and Landscaping.
Custom Multicades makes authentic, quality arcade machines at the most reasonable prices. When you're looking for the perfect piece for your family game room or man cave, you can find what you want at Custom Multicades, right here in the Ville. Whether you're looking for an upright game, cocktail table game, or even a bourbon barrel game, Custom Multicades is the place to go. They even carry Golden Tee games and virtual pinball machines as well. You can get all the classic games you love, like Pac-Man, Galaga, Centipede, Space Invaders, Donkey Kong, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, WrestleFest, Altered Beast, so much, Shinobi, Bad Dudes, Ninja Gaiden, all of them, just depending on which pack you pick. When you get in contact with Chris and Linda, they will steer you to the right pack. They are some of the best customer service people that I've ever dealt with. I have one in my home, so you can trust me on that. They do pride themselves, though, on providing the best product at a reasonable price and backing that up with excellent customer service. They are a locally owned company by Chris and Linda Stewart. They have been in the amusement business for over 20 years. But let's get back to that game. You can customize it not only with games, but with graphics. Their graphics team can help you turn your arcade into a family heirloom or business centerpiece. Pro teams, college teams, even your business logo, maybe even your face. Don't quote me on that one. That may be incorrect. You can also get light up buttons, light up joysticks. You can customize the trim, all of the panel stickers, everything. It's an amazing product, and I can say that because I have one in my home. So if you're interested in getting your own arcade game, give them a call at 502-819-5802. That's 502-819-5802. Or check them out online at CustomMultiCades.com. Welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Wyman. I'm here with my guys, Sean, Wes, Dalton, Sam, and Joey. Before we get to the second part of the show, let's talk about our fine sponsors once again. Shack in the Back Barbecue, that's at 363-3BBQ. That's 502-363-3BBQ. At Shack in the Back, they're saying it's never too early to start planning your Thanksgiving dinner. What will be on your table this year? Ham? Turkey? What is your family's got to have dessert? Let them know. Hit them up at the 3633BBQ. We've lost one of our podcasters. I don't know where he went, but go ahead and hit them up. Great food, great service. I know you'll agree. Check out our guy Chris and our people Chris and Sarah out at Fitness Market, 502-882-2694 for all your workout and fitness needs. They've got bikes, stationary bikes. They've got motorized bikes. They've got dumbbells, barbells, treadmills, ellipticals, anything you could think of, they've got. Give them a call. Tell them Cardinal Sports Zone sent you, 502-882-2694. Check out our guy Rob Black at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, 502-773-5757. See how we had the number and you weren't here, Higgy? That's on you. If you need your lawn taken care of, renovated, cut, whatever, he's the guy for the job. You can follow him on Facebook to see some of his work. He goes live all the time to show that. That's Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. Give our family, I call them family, our people out at Custom Multicades, call Linda and Chris Stewart, 502-819-5802. They can design any kind of arcade machine for you. They'll put your graphics on it. If you're a Steelers fan, a Cowboys fan, a Chiefs fan, or unfortunately a Falcons fan, they can put all those graphics on your arcade machines. Celtics, Yankees, Red Sox, anything. Louisville team, or your college team, your business. They can even throw your – I'm going to get Sean one with his face on the side, and maybe that'll help. Well, that'll probably repel the ladies. But anyway, it probably will be that. But give them – and they've got new stuff about to come out, and I'm about to go visit them this week to test it out, and if it's exactly what I feel like it's going to be, it's going to be a game changer for all you video game, I don't want to say nerds, but video game heads out there. It'll be great for you all. And last but not least, our guy Chris Williams out of Four Pegs Bear Lounge, 502-634-1447. Chris has been doing a lot of great stuff for the community, and he's been working hard, and his business has been one of them that's been affected by the COVID shutdowns. But this man has been killing it. He's been out feeding. He's been out feeding the protesters. He's been out, you know, just speaking his voice and helping people out and making it heard. Right now, they've got great new lunch specials that have come out. It's Wednesday through Friday from 11 to 3, $8. Perfect lunch portions for adults and kids at home. You can get your choice of pulled pork, smoked brisket, smoked wings, baby back ribs, pork belly burnt ends, smoked bologna. I will tell you this, Chris is one of the people that have had inspired me to go get my smoker and start cooking my own stuff. And I think I have perfected the dry rub rib. And I can tell you that, Wes, There's three people at the table that can attest to the flavor. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good were your ribs last night, Wes? 20. Oh,
I was muted.
Sorry. I forgot to unmute the rest of you. All right, so from a scale of 1 to 10, how good were the ribs?
Oh, they were 20. I loved them.
Okay, I knew you weren't going to follow directions. I'm Joey?
8.976.
Okay, that's fair. Dalton?
8.651.
Okay. Ooh,
he rated it the worst.
It's still a very good – in terms of ribs go, 10's like being like the – impeccable, best you've ever had. I think 8.6 is a compliment.
And I will also rate them a 20. No, out of 10, a 10. Shout out to my guy Chris Mull. He's the one that created the dry rub to put on the ribs, and just some stuff that we've tweaked. I feel like when they came fresh off the grill yesterday, off the smoker, they're probably the best ribs I've ever tasted. So maybe the fact that they were microwaved for you, Dalton, diminished the
taste.
Probably.
Maybe. So, but
they're still very good. The fact that I rated them 8.6 at microwaved is pretty solid.
You know that it, that
so it's
it,
like
I
a 9.2 fresh.
I didn't look at it that way, so maybe I should have.
It's like a parlay. You got to add the 10 on.
No doubt. So let's go into the Notre Dame preview. Here's a couple things that. That I saw just looking off the raw number. Well, I did a little research, but Notre Dame has 40 players on their roster that were 4-star or better. That's pretty worrisome, seeing that we cherish.
So does Florida State, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Joey, we'll just go straight to you. Key players.
Well, obviously, let's go ahead and get the number one out. Ian Books, you know, their number one player. He great in the pocket. He can, you know, take it out a little bit. He is, you know, somewhat mobile. I mean, his stat, you know, he hasn't ran for a whole lot of yards this year, but they do. And again, I work night shift. I work Saturday nights. We record this on Sunday, so I don't have much time to do my research. But just looking off the stats, Kyron Williams is a dual threat guy out of the backfield. I mean, he's rushed 48 times, 359 yards for 4 touchdowns, 7.5 yard average on the ground. He's also caught 6 passes for 114 yards. So he can get out of the backfield, you know, give him another, Ian Book, another outlet to throw to. Defense, I'm going to defer if anybody else has anybody.
Well, that's fine, because we're going to go to Sam here in a second about the defense.
Okay,
so.
Well, there you go. Ian Book and Kyron Williams are the two that you have to look out for. But just because of his name, I'm going to say keep an eye on Sebo Flemister. Not even lying.
We may need to type Sebo that one Flemister. Out for Higgy's next edition of Pronounce That.
14 carries for 129 yards, 9.2 average, 1 touchdown, and he's caught a pass out of the backfield. So
he may be their Mr. Sebo. Third Down. Sebo. Okay.
Sebo.
Okay.
Sebo Flemister.
Sam, tell us about the Notre Dame defense.
So we're looking at a team in Notre Dame that defense has given up 13 points a game. Over the last 3 games. So it's the defense is stout. They have a really good front 7 and a little bit more than serviceable defensive backs. So with that 13 points a game, I think they're averaging, they give up about 111 yards a game on the ground. So we should have some kind of success in the running game, and they also give up 212 passing yards a game. So for Louisville to get any type of momentum in this game, I know Notre Dame is going to try to go ahead and shut down the run first and foremost, because for a running team like Louisville, if they can get 3-4 yards a pop on a first down, they're ahead of the chains. But if you stop them for a 1 or 2 yard gain, then they're kind of behind the chains. That's not where they want to be as a running team. So I look for Louisville to find ways to get their Asan Hall and Javion Hawkins back on track. Well, not really back on track, but try to have a little bit more success in the run game so that McKeel can find his weapons and try to exploit the little holes that the Notre Dame defense has.
Speaking of the Notre Dame offense, Sean, what do we need to look for, or what what is their style? How do they play offense up there in South Bend this year?
Everything's predicated, as Joey mentioned, on Ian Book. It's basically Ian Book. Everything they do is centered around him. So they're going to pass the ball. They like a lot of short, accurate passes, and then they will run the ball a little, but they're more of a almost, I don't necessarily want to call them a West Coast offense, but something along that line. You know, it's moving the ball with the pass. That's what they really like to do. And using Ian Book as well to run the ball here and there. He does like to run the ball just a little bit. He's mobile enough where he can get 3-4 yards of carry here or there. If it's short yardage situation on third down, you got to watch for him to run. He will run.
So I got a question. So, yes, they are averaging 13 points a game because they gave up 13 points to Duke, 0 to USF.
And 26.
But 26 to Florida State. So for pretty much all season long, most people have said that Florida State is the worst team in the ACC, correct?
Yes.
Up until now, okay. They're rated right above us, and then Syracuse is underneath us.
So do we think and Jordan Travis ran the ball for almost 100 yards on him.
But what I'm going with that is
being that, you know, Mikel does like to run, do we think that maybe we can get, you know, exploit that? Like Florida State did against Notre Dame's defense.
The only way we do that is for our coaching staff to let McHale be the dual threat that he is. He's staying, like Sean said, he's staying in the pocket way too long, and I think it's maybe because he's trying to prove that he's a passer. But you have to utilize your abilities to get the best of what you can do, because if you allow him to run every once in a while, it makes them have to account for him in the passing game. So that's an extra defender that you take off of Tutu, off of Dez, off of Marshawn Ford, and you put him on to spy McHale, or you try to keep the defensive line contained. But you have to let McHale be a dual threat if Louisville's going to have any success on offense for the rest of this season.
Dalton, what does Louisville have to do to win this game?
Well, I think
on both sides of the ball.
I think the number one thing, regardless of size, they have to be able to stop the run. Notre Dame, they kind of go with like a triple-headed monster in terms of the backfield. I don't know, what was it, Sebo Flemister?
Sebo.
But he's actually all three running backs are averaging over 7.5 yards per carry, which is phenomenal, even taking into account the teams that they're playing. I mean, to be able to do that regardless is pretty impressive. And I think that's kind of been the Louisville's kryptonite. Not being able to stop the run sets up, being able to get diced in the air game as well. So I think that we're going to have to see more competence from the defensive line and the linebackers to be able to get into the backfield as well. It's not just solely on the defensive line. Kind of to refute Sean's point, I think they are actually a run-heavy team. Book's only thrown 75 passes this season. And no receiver has over six catches through the first three games. So I'd say that they're not necessarily run dominant. They're more of a balanced approach, but they do, favor the run. I would 100% expect that to be the case this Saturday when they see the opportunity that is the Louisville defense. Offensively, I think it's going to come down to the signal caller. I think if it's Malik, he's got to be able to deliver his throws. We have to get to the point where we can't keep getting in these third and long situations, because once you do, you're really just trying to dig yourself out of a hole. You're going to convert here and there, but at the end of the day, you relying on completing and converting third and longs isn't a good recipe for success. So I think what Louisville has to do Saturday is really what they've had to do every Saturday from the start of the season to now, which we really haven't seen. So it's really a matter of not switching anything up, just being better at the things that they need to be better on.
So I just – quick math, Rain Man over here. They actually run the ball 78% of the time.
Okay, so it is a pretty run-dominant offense.
Yeah. Not
so
to –
They change their style.
Not to – like, yeah. They've thrown 75 passes and they've ran the ball 120 times.
I guess because they can.
Yeah. So
that
scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
They had a lead 52-0 at one point in time. So that it could have been a little bit skewed because of the big leads. But I mean, Dalton said that it all depends on the signal caller. We were talking during the break about how
pass had some success during the first Notre Dame game.
No, you were talking about that. Okay. Nobody else agreed with you.
Well, that's fine. But don't forget, they also they put him in some running situations, too. They allowed him to run. So if you allow McHale or Malik to run the ball, it opens up more of the offense. If you, like I said, just allow him to be the dual threat that he is, it'll force the defenses to account for him. Go ahead, Drew.
No, I was just raising my hand, just let him know I got a point, whatever. No, I think what's going to help us is to keep Notre Dame's offense off the field, obviously, right? So I think we do need to run the ball more. And we do need to establish a run. We do need to run Hassan. We do need to run Javian. I happen to think they'll get between the two of them 200-plus yards rushing. I think we'll be able to run the ball against Notre Dame. But the question is he going to over – on when we do pass the ball, is he going to overthrow Dez? Is he going to underthrow
– is it going to be those predictable runs on first down to the short side?
Right.
Of the field?
I mean, so that's where I feel like the issue is we got to limit the big plays like – Miami had against us, like Georgia Tech had some, you know, big plays. And we limit those on, you know, on our defensive end. If we can establish the run, we can limit the number of possessions that Notre Dame has to score. It keeps us in the game. I don't think we're going to come close to winning the game, but I think it keeps us in the game.
If MC, I'm going to call him MC, that's just easier. Struggles early in this game. Do not be surprised at all to see Juwan pass in this game. I think that at that point, as impatient as the quote-unquote fans are, at that point you almost have to try something different. Wes, let's go to you real quick, and we're going to start off the predictions. So what is your what do you think the game – how do you think the game ends up next week? What's the final score?
Final score. Well, it depends on our defense more than likely. They got to wrap up. But they got to wrap up. They got to actually
penetrate.
actually, you're right. Got to penetrate.
Got to shoot the gap.
I'm just looking for a score here.
I can go
just
all
like
day.
Sean.
I'll call it close. I'll say 24-18 us.
Sean?
It's probably going to be about, I'm going to go Notre Dame 42, Louisville 30.
Okay, Joey?
35-21, Notre Dame.
Dalton?
48-24, Notre Dame.
Sam?
42-31, Notre Dame.
And I'm going to go 38-20, Notre Dame. I had more confidence last week. Now, obviously, there's always the chance that we put everything together and come out and play. And if that's the case, if we play to our full potential, then yes, there's a chance that we can win a squeaker. Even
and I'll gladly be wrong.
Yeah, I'll gladly be wrong. Us at full potential, it's probably still a 7-point game. But
I'm usually wrong, so I mean I'm.
I hope you are again.
I'm always wrong.
That's true. So let's go to the quick hitters, and then we're going to go to the mailbox. Quick hitters, couple things.
Sean don't get to answer those.
No, right? He don't get to
answer.
These are more statements than questions. Field hockey won again. They're undefeated, every team they played. Unless they played today. Higgy's not here to give me the stats 45 minutes late, but every team they played this year is ranked. They've won every game. They will likely be the new number one team in the country when the polls come out, if they ever do. I want to shout out to our guy Trevor Edwards on Twitter. He sends me bunches of content during the week. Today he decided he was going to try to help me fix my bathroom too. So shout out to him. Great guy. We appreciate that. And I don't think anybody here knows this because I found out today and I was completely shocked. But when the place where this kind of all started at, the Cardinal Hall of Fame Cafe is closing its doors in 2 weeks. That's where we all had our first CSZ. It was like a fan thing. We were like, you know, come. Me and Steve and Justin were like, come have lunch with us, hang out, let's talk sports and this and that. And that's where I met. Unfortunately, I met Sean. Sam came with him, so that kind of, you know,
things happen for a reason.
Cancels that out. So, but no, very sad to hear that. The Ville Burger was amazing.
Yes.
The stuffed macaroni and cheese balls were amazing. Give us a quick Colonel Hall of Fame Cafe. Oh, we got Sean a phone number at the Colonel Hall of Fame Cafe.
On the receipt.
We gave the girl the phone number, and then she never called him. So
did she call him?
No, we gave her my phone number, and then she never called.
That's what I just said.
And then she avoided us the last time we went in.
Oh, no.
Shout out to her.
She sure did. She looked straight at you.
That was her. I think that's all. I don't think we have to have another one.
I was in shape back in, man. I was running like 4 miles on it.
Did you have a family of caterpillars crawling on your face?
Yeah. I don't remember if I looked like a terrorist.
Did you look? Jesus!
Good Lord.
We do not condone or agree with the statements made by Sean Barber.
I actually had that happen to me one time, though. They pulled me over after December.
Wait. You've been profiled?
Yeah.
You've been profiled?
After December.
December 27th. I was flying home from San Francisco, and I was the only person on the entire plane pulled over, had to pull my shoes off because of Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. I was the only person.
He was just happy to be checked out.
What did they?
Yeah. He was in San Francisco.
Unbelievable. Actually, I happened in Texas.
All I want to know is, did they give you a name?
Did they give you a name? No.
When they profiled, they'd be like, oh, that's a DeWan.
They just thought pulled Sean me was over the side and said, take off your coat. Take off your shoes.
Was it at least a female?
No.
I don't remember. It's been too long.
Bro.
You would remember.
Take my money.
Because I'd have been like, look, you didn't pay for dinner. You didn't take me to a movie. I'm not taking off any of these clothes.
We skipping foreplay right now?
Right.
I'm not taking any of these. Go straight to it,
right for it.
You know, some people.
Never mind.
So many jokes in my head, none of them I can say out loud. Let's go to the we got a couple things in the CSE mailbox that were DM'd to me instead of just responded to the tweet. So we'll go with this. And by the way, we have CSE, we're just relaying the questions that were given to us. The initial questions are not our thoughts, or they're not our views. So please don't be offended by them. Question number one. What would a Court Denison defense look like if Brown is on the hot seat? Dalton, I'm going to go ahead and go to you first.
I could be wrong, but isn't Court the co-defensive coordinator?
He is the co-defensive coordinator. Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know how that – I don't know how the decision-making gets, you know,
split up
in terms of the responsibilities, but I don't – put it this way, no disrespect to Court, but I don't want to see Brian Brown gone just yet. Like, you know, we've had three defensive coordinators, well, technically four if you want to count the co-defensive coordinators, in like four seasons. So, you know, you can't expect any real change without continuity and true instruction. So
we had four in four seasons. It was Grantham, Sermon, Van Gorder, and then Brown,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Did I forget
five
somebody?
With
so
the code.
Five yeah. and four.
So it'd be, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not even going to answer that. I don't even want to see what that looks like because I want to give Brown more of a shot just because,
that's
like
fair.
I said, it seems like we're beating a dead horse, but the personnel's not there yet. You really have to give coaches 3-4 years to get their guys regardless.
At least three.
Well, let's be honest, and we can look at it in basketball. Jay Wright didn't start winning at Villanova until later on. Dabo Swinney, same thing at Clemson. Obviously, might be apples to oranges in terms of program.
Because Clemson's orange and Louisville's red.
Program prominence, but I think that with any coaching staff, you can't write them off in year two, especially in a year where we didn't have a lot of really any spring practice.
Exactly.
Again, I think that's what's being overlooked the most. Whereas you've seen many top teams go down yesterday. sorry.
We won it all last year. It's
Missouri, though.
It is what it is. It's preparation. I think preparation has been what a lot of people are overlooking. I could be wrong on that one, Joey.
Well, I was just going to say, it would look no different than it does now.
The Cowboys are dumpster fire.
Yeah.
They just left a wide open receiver.
Our defense would look no different than it does now, and it goes back to what I said earlier because of what they have the talent pool they have to work with right now, and it goes to everybody else's points. We've said it. You've got to give these guys time to get their talent that they've recruited in. They didn't recruit any of these guys.
In the interest,
well, Court might have. I don't know how long was he gone.
He recruited some of the guys.
Yeah, he recruited some of them. In the interest of time,
linebackers.
I'm going to go to one person for each of the rest of the questions.
Give me the one that could have a funny answer.
Okay, I'll do that. Sam, I'm going to go to you next. And again, we tell the people that follow Cardinal Sports Zone and are fans of Cardinal Sports Zone to send us questions. So we're going to ask them whether they're stupid or not. Not saying that any of these are stupid, unless they are. But, Sam, question number two. Are we in any danger of losing more recruits because of the poor performances on field, or can we spin it to say that we need freshmen to come in and contribute and get some guys who want playing time right away?
It's a tough one. Here's where you see how great of a recruiter you have in your coaching staffs, because this is where things are going to come into play, things are going to come into question. Now, if you can spin it to where you say, look, I'm getting them there, I'm showing them this is the plan, this is the scheme, they're there, they're just not making the plays, then you can probably be like, you know what, you'll keep recruits. But if they're not buying that and believing that or seeing that, then I think you are at risk of losing some, because let's be honest, we lost a pretty good recruit. No fault to Louisville, like Dalton likes to say, just because a bigger name came calling. So Coach Satterfield and the staff has recruited really, really well. So I do think if the coaching staff aren't able to spin this, and the performance on the field doesn't change for the better, I do think you see not the floodgates open, but I do think you see about three or four recruits start to look elsewhere and open up their commitment.
Sean, would the offense benefit with Ledford as a position coach and Sat calling the plays exclusively?
Sat pretty much calls the plays exclusively.
Brother, I'm just repeating the questions that I'm given.
But
that's when you just say no.
Next question.
Yeah. There you go. It's no. It's fine right now. It'll just got to keep. What's the word I'm looking for? Keep consistency.
It's like the Court Denison question. Like, how? What do you mean? It's already a Court Denison defense, considering that he is a co-defensive coordinator.
Consistency is the key, and that's the problem with this team. Consistency. It's all you got to develop.
It's not the key, because you could be consistently bad. I don't want to be consistent.
I was going to say we are consistent. Consistent overthrowing receivers. Consistent making the wrong decision, you know, when we don't need to. Consistently being out of position.
Consistently running not on playing. The short side of the field for first down.
But you know what? To a point, when you say that, at least you know what you need to work on. It's not 100 different things that you're doing randomly. It's five or six things that you're doing all the time.
Easily correctable,
right?
Too.
So while we joke and say we're consistently subpar right now, we've got something to work on.
All right, Joey, could T. Webb do any better right now than Malik?
Oh boy!
Oh Lord!
T. Webb?
T. Webb?
I think T. Webb could. I think Puma Pass could. I think Tutu Atwell could. He was a quarterback, right?
Yes,
in high school.
And again.
No Evan Conley?
Evan Conley, sorry. I meant to say him. My bad. No, I mean, I don't know what it is with Malik right now. I don't think it's lack of confidence. I think he's getting overamped, and he may be overconfident, and that overconfidence gets him in trouble, because when it comes time to make the play, he's not making the right decision. So, yes.
All right, Wes, last but not least, should we just put some freshmen in and let them get some game reps and deal with their mistakes to get them experience? Or stick with the older guys and watch them make the same mistakes over and over again?
Put the freshmen in and let them learn.
Lovie Jenkins.
Can I add to that, though?
Has to.
Sure.
Has to.
Jadarian Boykin.
He did finally get to play some.
Me.
You know, being that Terrence Farley that we grew up with played for U of L basketball, we would be able to go up and kind of go behind the scenes a little bit, you know, during that time. And we would always question, well, why isn't this person playing, you know, getting playing time? Why isn't this person practice? We don't know how these guys are practicing. So these guys that we're saying we need to get some clock, who's to say that they're not making even worse mistakes in practice?
That's the point that I was trying to drive home earlier. I mean, it's easy to be, you know, couch coaches, you know, quarterback or what is it?
Because throw the stars Sunday out the window. Oh, we got 4-star cornerback on the bench. Why ain't he playing? Well, maybe 4-star cornerback. Throw those stars out the window. He may be playing like 1-star cornerback right now in practice. And you would rather have
practice.
This guy. Hey,
what we talk about practice.
We ain't got no Allen Iverson on this team.
But you want to talk about practice.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
What's his nickname? The answer? We got a lot of Allen.
We need a lot of answers.
Yeah,
we got a lot of questions.
We need a lot of answers. All right, guys. Well, once again, and I'm going to cue Dalton up for his tagline, but once again, we went over an hour.
We are not sorry.
And we are not sorry, but we do appreciate everybody checking us out. Shout out again to all of our fine sponsors, the Jamon Brown Foundation, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Four Pegs, Beer Lounge, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, and I myself, without the help of Higgy, are working on more currently. And Higgy, that's just a I know you're going to listen to the show, and I just want you to know that you are still remembered. I wasn't going to say that you weren't missed because that'd be a lie.
We're not sorry.
Because I think Dalton kind of missed you. If not, none of us did. But if you want to sponsor the show, give us a call, 502-694-0375. I'll be glad to speak to you about setting that up. Get on social media and follow us on Facebook. That's Cardinal Sports Zone 3 words. Hit that like button. Make it Facebook official. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Card Sport Zone, because you couldn't put the whole thing in there because Twitter was stupid when we created that account. And you can follow us individually. Myself is at Jeremy_CSZ on both accounts. Sean is at Virginia is for lovers. No, go ahead, Sean. What is yours?
At Elville, Sean.
Sam?
Baseboy 124.
Dalton?
At Depence _.
Joey?
I thought Sean's was lonely and at Lonely and Harry.
Farmers _only Sean.
That's his burner account.
Unbelievable. At Joe Wallman 526.
And to our only multiple-time co-host, guest co-host, Wes Brown, where can they find you at?
At Worldwide Wes 42.
We're going to need to get you a new Twitter name. That was cool back in the day, but...
Yeah, you're the one that voted on it and said you should be Worldwide Wes.
No, that's not true.
Okay, we'll have a discussion later.
That not only is that not true, but that's one of those things that just make you say... Again, that's one of those things that just make you say.
That's what my butt said earlier.
Golly.
Wow. Pause.
Shout out to Jack Grossman for sending me the clip from Middays with Marcus Maben and Steve Rose.
Or Marcus and Maben.
Mark
and Maben.
Mark and Maben. That's what he called
Mark Rummage and Maven.
Look, here's the thing: you can't mess up around this crew because we will We will let you know. We will call you out, and then we will run it into the ground.
Mark and
much
Maven.
Like Sean's virginity, we have ran that straight
into
under.
We're
going
to keep running that into the ground until he runs. We'll see you next week
on
the Cardinal Sports Zone
podcast. Unbelievable.
No, everybody believes that I would say that.
That's
so
true.
Went straight in the ground. And I'm already in hell at this point.
What?
So is his love life. But I digress.
It can only go up from here.
I'm not sure he's had any experience with that. But anyway, you can find the podcast on all your local podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Buzzsprout. Why are you taking those headphones off? Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and iHeart Podcast. iHeart Podcast is the number one avenue for podcasts. That's what they say. Hit subscribe now on all of them. That way I won't have to be in your DMs or your text telling you, hey, listen to the show, because I do that from time to time. I do that. If you haven't if you haven't listened to all the episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, go back to cardinalsportszone.com, hit the drop down menu, podcast, CSC podcast. They're all there. The other incarnations of the show, CSC on 93.9, Live at 55, some of the old school stuff's on there. You'll hear some stuff from a lot of great guests that we've had, and then Paige was also on there. So don't listen to that one. We apologize. But everybody else's you can listen to. Our recruiting team is on fire right now at Cardinal Sports Zone, cardinalsportszone.com, as is the entire squad as normal. Check out their exclusive pieces on cardinalsportszone.com. Dalton's got some upcoming. Really excited to see. That's the place that all began, cardinalsportszone.com. Shout out to everybody out there who is sharing the podcast. We really do appreciate the love, and we appreciate you. If you have any ideas or suggestions for guests or topics or segments, like Pronounce This with Higgy, shoot me a DM at Jeremy_CSE. That's what Trevor does. He takes advantage of that one all the time. Another shout out for him. Any last words?
I got some. Does anybody know what's in 14 days?
Oh, gosh.
You moving?
No.
I have no idea.
Northwestern taking out the trash.
Oh. Maryland, huh? Okay.
Sam, any last words?
Yeah, my last words for Guard Nation right now. I know we're 1-3, not where we want to be, not where anyone saw us coming. But stand behind your team. Stand with your team. Support them. Don't be like the other people to the east of us. And
they're crazy.
and show your true character. Character is in what you see when things are going great. It's what you see and what's behind closed doors, what's done in the dark, and is when things are really really tough. Stay true to Louisville. Stand behind your team. Give these guys their encouragement, because I think they are doing the best they can. So just stay with them, and they'll turn this thing around.
The young OGDP, what you got for us?
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
Right.
The young OG.
Just basically relax. I mean, at this point, I feel like, and I owe somebody 50 cents, I assume.
It's Sam.
But as the great Sam would say, relax. We're in year two of a rebuild in a fluke season, in my opinion. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but at the end of the day, it's L1-C4 until we all go down. So, you know, let's make sure that these players and these coaches know that they have our support. And if they don't, then shut the hell up.
Amen on that.
All right. Joey.
You already said it.
Oh, you already said yours. Wes. Mm-hmm. No, Sean. Wes, you're the guest. You get to go last. Best for last.
I'm not.
Other than me.
Wear your mask, people. Come on.
Let's grow a beard like Sean.
I don't think that's going to. No, that's not a good idea, actually. But
no.
No, it's not.
But wear your mask and just. Let's get ready for Notre Dame. Let's see what happens, because you never know. This college football season has been absolutely insane.
Oh, we got a tough stretch. We got Notre Dame, Florida State, Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
In any normal year, that would be like a holy crap. That's what we all wanted it though. When we were in Conference USA in the Big East, we're like, man, we really want those powerhouse
AAC
schedule. Yeah, the AAC. I try to forget about that year.
I'm not sure we'd be much better than 1-3 in Conference USA this year.
Mute his mic, please.
I would, but I'm disgruntled. Don't have patience. Yeah, Wes, what about you, man? Any last words in case you're confused? Wrap it up. We know.
You like to wrap it up.
You want people to wrap it up. That's one of your things. But what else?
Like Sean said, wear your mask. Be safe out there. Hope everybody had a good weekend, and holler at you later.
And Wes is a postal worker. He does do that service so thank you for your service and making sure that the mail must go through. Joey,
I just got one more. Are there any more ribs left?
Yeah, there's another plate of ribs upstairs.
Freaking sweet.
or there was. Apparently, there won't be here in a few minutes.
All right, I'm gone.
my last words are, anything could happen in college football. We saw that yesterday. Texas sucks.
Miami.
Tennessee sucks. LSU Miami sucks. And LSU sucks. And wear your mask and go Cards. I mean, what else to say?
Bye.
Okay. I guess we'll say bye.
Go Cards.
Next week we'll have the return of Higgy, so if you don't want to listen, that's fine. We get it. We get it. Next week, return of Higgy, the return of Body Heat. It's going to be hot as Hades in here, but we'll still relax.
Return of the snack. Here he comes, return of the snack. Oh no.
Here he comes.